יש לי בינו כך מקום. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, this week we're missing the rabbi, as you can tell. He's not here. He's in Boston with his mother. Him and Isaac went together. So we'll be praying for them and remembering them. And we're going to keep the fire burning here. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But I just want to welcome everyone online. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're in Bristol, Virginia. And I want to welcome you to our service. So we'll have some Spirit-led liturgy to begin with, and we'll read from the Torah portion. And then we'll have some more worship, and then we'll have word of the Lord from Pastor Ed and Kathy Bowers. So we're happy to have them with us as guests. Hallelujah. they're like fans. We're like fans of theirs because they're like family to us, our mom and dad. So we're great to have them. Hallelujah. All right, let's enter joyfully into his presence.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael.
Beautiful day out there. I think spring has finally sprung. Do you think it's finally going to be spring? Oh, you guys up there in where are you? Meadowview, is that where you live?
Clayton.
Where? Yeah, same difference. Almost Damascus. We had to pull her out of the ice crust. And then everybody living on the mountain. Who's on the mountain? The mountain boys here. We had to come over the mountain. And the rest of us here in the valley. And today we've got races, but you guys fought the races and won. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
All right, Vishamru. Vishamru, Vene Israel, et HaShabbat. La sode ha shabbat le doro tamborit olam. Veshamru vene Israel et ha shabbat. La sode ha shabbat le doro tamborit olam. Bnei o bnei bnei Israel, bnei Israel, oti leolam. Veshamru bnei Israel et hashabbat, lasol et hashabbat le dorotam barit olam. Kisheshet yamim asah Adonai, asah Adonai, eshemayim ve'aretz. Veshamru bnei Israel et hashabbat, lasol et hashabbat le dorotam barit olam. Ki aretz v'yom hashvi shavat, shashvi shavat na. Shavim shvash veshamru bnei Israel et hashabbat lasod et hashabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom. Jerusalem. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as it says in His Word that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem always. That's one of the main prayers in Judaism, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for Your Shabbat, Lord, that we can enter in rest and peace and find You here today, Lord. We ask today, Lord, that as this next week's coming up, Lord, the United States has already attacked Syria, Lord, and we know that Israel is so vulnerable, Lord, where she sits there in the Middle East. The enemies are surrounding her today, Lord. And we ask today, Lord, that You supernaturally protect Israel and restore her unto You, Lord, today, Lord. Protect the Jewish people. Protect all the people that are today, Lord, and that they will come to know the true, the Messiah, Your Son, that died for every person, Lord. And we pray today for all our Messianic communities, Lord, that You will bless them. Bless the rabbis and the speakers today, Lord. Give them a special anointing, Lord, that Your word will go forth, Lord, and people's lives and hearts will be touched, Lord, by Your handiwork today, Lord. We ask You to bless us as a congregation. Bless Rabbi Joseph as he's in Boston today, Lord, with his mom who's having medical problems today, Lord. And we just pray that she will receive salvation, Lord, and healing will come in her body today, Lord. And we pray that You will bless them as they're there today, Lord, and just give Joe an extra opportunity to be with his mom, Lord. It's just a special time because we think her days may be numbered, but you have that number today, Lord. Even though we wish we knew when we would die, Lord, You are the one that holds our lives in Your hands today, Lord. And so we commend her to You, Lord, and we commend Joe and Isaac also unto You today, Lord, that they will be a true witness of salvation. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. And I just want to lift up another special prayer for Diane, whose knee is, she's got a torn meniscus. And so we want to just thank You, Lord. We ask for healing for her, and also for Carolyn Chapman, who called and said she was sick this morning. So we just lift them up, Lord. And everyone amongst us, Father, we just pray, Father, that Your healing touch would descend upon us today as we spend time in Your presence, Lord. Draw us towards You, Lord. We have too many things that are drawing us away and into the world, into distractive things, Lord. Draw us back unto You, Father. Turn our hearts back to You today, Lord. In Yeshua's name.
Yes. Thank You, Father.
Amen. Well, today we have we've been getting a new season. Passover was an awesome, awesome, awesome day, week. We had a banquet, and it was just glorious. Did you enjoy it, the banquet?
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. And I want to thank everyone for coming and putting the hard work in to make it happen. I taught the kids last week, and I told them, I said, you know, worship isn't just about, you know, being in the presence. In the Hebrew, worship actually means, the translation is avodah, which actually means to work. So, which is kind of an oxymoron when you think about it, because God's telling us we're supposed to rest on the Shabbat, but then why does He say worship is work? Well, it's because Pastor Ed had to, you know, prepare a message, and he's not exactly relaxing because he's thinking about everything that has to go on. So the priest has to prepare themselves and do a lot of work in order to bring the message, bring the word of the Lord. And Anthony had to do a lot of preparation. We all had to prepare. We had to work to make this happen. Amen. But God says when we're working unto Him, that we come into His rest and we experience His supernatural rest and His peace. And so anyway, that's about the work of the Passover. It says that we are to really put our effort into honoring Him, and you did. And I want to thank you for that. You okay there? I also forgot to mention Anthony's, now that he dropped the mic, in our prayer, he's got a slight pneumonia. So we want to really lift him up as well. And don't forget. But I do want to talk about Passover is the beginning, really, of the next holiday. We never have a lack for holidays here. We've got at least 8, and they keep rolling. And so the next one popping up, does anybody know? Shavuot, and this is Pastor Kathy's favorite holiday. And right now, we are in the season where we're counting the days because there are supposed to be 50 days between the first fruits, the day of first fruits, or the day of resurrection during Passover. 50 days that we're going to count to the next holiday, which is Shavuot. And many wonderful things happened on Shavuot. Before Yeshua came, significant things happened. And when Yeshua came and then rose from the dead, something else significant happened. So I'm going to read a little bit, and we're going to learn week by week, because we're not only counting the days, we're counting the weeks. I have 3 sheaves here, which reminds us we've finished 2 weeks, so we're going to be beginning the 3rd week. So I have 3 weeks. We're counting the weeks, and weeks are Shavua. Everybody say Shavua.
Shavua.
So that's why we have Shavuot. Oat means many, or is a plural. So Shavuot is weeks, the Feast of Weeks. And so we're counting the weeks and we're counting the days. Today's the 14th day, the 2nd week of 50 days. So I'm just going to read this real quick, and then Anthony's going to say the prayer, and we're going to count down. And how many of you know when it was that actually, Yeshua rose from the dead, and then he was actually walking among his people for how long? What? No. 40 days. 40 days. So for 10 days, the disciples were alone, and his commandment to them was to stay in the city and wait. So this is the period of time right now that Yeshua would have been walking among the people, the disciples. Remember, on the road to Emmaus, he appeared, and they didn't know who they were talking to. And, well, it was Yeshua. So let me just finish, and then I'll turn it over to Anthony. There are actually 2 first fruits. The first fruits celebration that occurs the day following the Sabbath after Passover is considered early first fruits. 50 days later, the latter first fruits comes, called the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. The 50 days in between are called the counting of the Omer. And Omer is Hebrew for wheat, okay, or harvest. Occasionally, you'll see both the early and the latter first fruits listed in one feast. This chapter is a combination of, they're talking about first fruits and the counting of the Omer. The latter first fruits is the Feast of Weeks is addressed in the next chapter in this book. During early first fruits, the first fruits waved before the Lord were in the natural state, an Omer of barley and wheat, grapes, and olives. During the latter first fruits, the first fruits waved before the Lord were prepared state of 2 loaves of bread and wine and oil with leaven. And I think you've heard rabbis teaching, so you should know what the leaven and the unleavened first fruit offerings mean. The first day of first fruits is also called Yom HaBikurim or Sifirat HaOmer. The word first fruits means a promise to come, and the very first of the harvest is waved before for God to acknowledge the land he gave to the Israelites. Early first fruits is celebrated on a very special day. On this day, the Bible records miracles occurring over and over. No other day except Passover is mentioned as many times in the Bible. The day of first fruits never received the status of high holy day just because the priest had to offer the wave sheaf. It remained an ordinary working day on which the high priest would wave the sheaf before the Lord. Therefore, some do not consider early first fruits an actual feast day. God commanded his people to count from the day after the Sabbath until the day that the Torah was given. This counting demonstrated how great the desire is for the day that commemorates the most special occasion. The offering of new barley was brought to the temple on the second day of Passover. The Omer measure is 1/10 of an ephah, and therefore is a relatively modest offering. But until the Omer had been brought to the priest in the temple, none of the new produce could be eaten. The Israelites were to bring special thanks offerings to the temple. In Jewish literature, the festival is frequently referred to as Atzeret, translated as a solemn assembly. In temple times, the order of first fruits and the counting of the Omer was as follows. It was to be done on the morrow after the Sabbath during Passover. They were to reap the harvest and then bring the sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. The priest would wave the sheaf before the Lord. There, following the counting of 7 weeks from the day it was brought, the law enjoined that no fruit was to be gathered from the newly planted fruit trees for the first 3 years, and that the first fruits of the fourth year were to be consecrated to the Lord. And I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more, but we will have what? How many more weeks? 4 more weeks, right? To talk about what this all means. So I'm going to give it over to Anthony. We'll say the prayer and then continue.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitzishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirot hayomer hayom arbua aser yom shahim shenei shavuot la omer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. And today is the 14th day, which are 2 weeks in the counting of the Omer.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, this is a traditional Shavuot song, and it's about, let's all stand and we'll just enjoy. It's about resurrection, and it's a traditional Jewish song. Thank you, Lord, that you give us a brand new slate, a new chance. Wipe the slate clean with resurrection. It's new life. Everything in us is about resurrection. He gives us life. Before we knew him, we didn't even know what life was. And now we have resurrection living in us forever. And hallelujah, thank you, Father. It's not just for the eternity, it's for now too, Lord. Plant your resurrection within us today, Lord. And we just thank you, Father. We're mindful of your miraculous works among us in Yeshua's name. You love us so much. Hallelujah. Anthony will do a Torah procession. Is that next or Shema?
Shema.
Shema. Okay, let's all stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echa, Baruch Shem Kevo, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
And you want to choose two men there.
Okay. Wendell and
Bill.
I lost your name for a second.
Bill.
I'm sorry. Bill, huh? What I was thinking.
You're starting to sound like me, Anthony.
I know, I tell you. Having those moments. Answer to that question. Ain kamoka valim adonai valim kamasekka malkuka mamuko olamin umashaka bitgodor dorvador adonai melek adonai melok adonai imlok leoam vaed adonai os leomo you retain adonai varechetamo vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Thank you. Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel."
Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah.
Barku Adonai Hamvara.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarak Leolam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarak Leolam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bapakanu Miko Adamin. Vatin Lano Et Torah To. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, we're back into the Torah parshas. Last week was a little different. It was the end of Passover. But today's Torah portion is from Leviticus chapter 9 through chapter 11 and a half Torah, 2 Samuel 6 through chapter 7, verse 17. It's called Shemini, and Shemini means eight. You know, the last time we had the Torah portion that I did, you know, the tabernacle was being consecrated, and it was a 7-day ceremony that happened. And when you look at the number seven, and I guess the reason I started thinking about this week was because Israel's coming up on their 70th birthday in May, and the number 70 is actually two numbers in one. It has the number seven, which means it's perfection. It also, I think, represents heaven. And the number 10 tells us that God's mitzvahs are complete in his. And of course, that ties back to the 10 utterances, or what we probably often refer to as the 10 commandments. So it's bound in the number 70. There's 7 days in a week. There's seven years in a Shemitah cycle. And then, of course, in the Yovel, that's seven Shemitah cycles times seven, which is 49, just like the counting of the Omer is also connected to the number seven times seven. But on this day, on this particular parasha, it tells us about the eighth day. You know, the eighth day is a day that does not appear on the calendar. It's not on the week. It's a day that God does something very special in those days. That's why it's not on the calendar. And God controls everything, so he doesn't have to abide by the calendar if he doesn't want to. But Aaron and his sons were initiated into the Kohen priesthood, and they actually did service on the eighth day. They prepared. It was the first time they had prepared the sacrifices on the altar. And God came, and of course he consumed the sacrifices upon the altar, and God's presence went back upon the earth, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. God had left the garden when his presence was removed because of the sin, and then there was the destruction, and God has come back on this day back to his house, to his tabernacle that was built by the Israelites. That was on this day. It was the eighth day that God's presence came back into the sanctuary, and God once again dwelt among his people. You see, the other people that connected to the eighth day, of course, I said Adam walking in the Garden of Eden, the Brit Milah, dedication of the firstborn son is on the eighth day. And the Torah scroll is rolled on the eighth day, Simchat Torah, and that's the day after Sukkot that God says, I would like for you to hang around another day and do something special with me. So you can see that the eighth is a very special, and eighth means resurrection. It was the eighth day that Yeshua came out of the resurrection, and he that was the completeness of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We had to have the resurrection to gain eternal life. He had to defeat death in the grave. So that's the eighth day experience too, not on the calendar again. But all the people, when God consumes the offerings, all the people see God doing that. Now they just got Torah at Mount Sinai and they saw God's presence, but this must have been something very special to see God consume those sacrifices, and the people, it says, they fell on their faces before him because of the tremendous thing that God was there. And then the Torah takes another turn here because it talks about Aaron's two sons who were also priests. They were consecrated into the priesthood also, and that was Nadab and Abihu. They were two sons that went before God, and they offered what is referred to or is called strange fire. It's called strange fire because it was not something that God commanded them to do. You know, he always called Moses. Moses never did just wander in. When he took a notion, happened to be walking by and he wandered in, God always spoke to Moses and would call him to come. You see, it was not, God did not command them to bring the fire. It wasn't the time that God had set aside for them to bring an offering. And also, it was not the proper place to bring the offering, and the fire was not the proper fire that God wanted. I think if you look at these two young men, that the scripture says they were consumed from the inside out of their bodies. God did not burn them completely up, but they were consumed from the inside out. In other words, their clothes were not burnt by the fire, by the presence and the power of God. And so it's hard to understand what would draw them. I think maybe I thought maybe this was something where they were zealous for God and they wanted to get closer to God. But in getting closer to God, God consumed them because it wasn't the proper method to approach God. And I think he's telling us that today. God has a pattern of worship. He has a pattern of prayer. He has a pattern for us to come as believers. And we have to worship him in his pre-subscribed manner that he wants us to worship. Like the Shabbat. That is a pre-subscribed day that God has set aside. You can worship him any time of the week. But this is an appointed time with God. And his presence is here today. He comes on Shabbat. He's here all the time, but Shabbat is a special day. It is a moed. It's appointed time. We have an appointment with God on the Shabbat. That's an appointment, just like the Passover feast is an appointed time. And just to close this morning, God tells us to sanctify ourselves, that we are to be called holy people because God himself, he says, I am holy, therefore you must be holy. And that's how we have to come before God. In sinless manner. His presence demands prayer. You will be perfected in his presence when you stand before him, because you will not have sin and you will have a new body that will not be ravaged by disease and sickness and infirmities of life. It will be a perfected body in the presence of God. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher, Samoshe, Lifnei, B'nei, Israel, Al-Pi, Adonai, B'ya, Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. As I said, we will continue our worship here in a moment, and Pastor Ed will be coming with a special message for us today. And I just want to welcome everyone. Just a few announcements, and after our announcements, we'll have some more worship and praise. And so we have a double portion of praise and a double portion of word. It's just enough to fill your belly for the whole week, okay? So stay tuned, amen? All right. I want to welcome everyone online. I think we're all family in here today, but this is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're in Bristol, Virginia, and we hope that you'll come visit us in person, especially if you live close by within a couple hours or so. We're right off the interstate, and so it's easy to get to, and we hope that you'll come and visit us, because the presence of the Lord is probably more prominent in person than online, but we're praying for you out there. So and let us know how you like it. Either email us or send us a note, and let us know how God's touching you today. We'd love to hear your responses and what God's doing. Okay, and I just want to, just a couple other announcements. First of all, we do have Oneg, I was told. And it's miraculous how it happens every week, but we do have food. So please stay. I think, will pastors be staying with us? Okay. Yes, so Pastor Ed and Kathy will be staying, and you can visit and fellowship with them and get caught up on everything that's going in their life, and I'm sure it's exciting. Also, coming up in July, we all know about the MJA conference. It's July 1st to 7th and in Philadelphia. So we've gotten our packet of brochures, and they're back on the table if you'd like to take one. And then if you ask the Lord if you might be if God might be wanting you to go. And if you can't go to Israel, you might as well go to the Messiah conference, because Messiah is at the Messiah conference. he actually shows up there, and we have a good time with him. And so if you can't go to Israel, go to Messiah conference. It's a lot less expensive. And we are planning a trip to Israel, by the way. We just haven't put it together yet. It's in the works, and God has to make the right date and everything. But we have several people who've already said, you know, they'd like to go and are interested. So be praying that about that. Let's see, what else should I say? We have Oneg. What else am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to talk about Rabbi Joe. He misses you, and he might be watching. I don't know. Is anybody texting? Has he texted or anything? Check my phone. Anyway, hi, Rabbi Joe. Everybody turn around and say hi, Rabbi Joe, because he might be. We miss you. He's in Boston. And you know what? He's probably not. You know why? Because he's going to the Red Sox game. So I don't think he's watching us. Yeah. They got tickets to the Red Sox. And I think it's the Red Sox and the Orioles. So, yeah, they're having a good time and just a little relaxation. Rabbi worked hard during the Passover season. I don't know if you didn't. We had quite a few ministry events, including the Passover, and he really put everything into it. So he deserves a little vacation, a little relaxation, as well as he's been wanting to see his mom. And I would like to be there with him too, but we just couldn't make it happen. So thank you for your prayers for Rabbi. And mom. And it seems like there's something else I'm supposed to say, and I can't remember what it is, so I'll probably remember in a few minutes. But we're going to continue with our worship in tithes and offerings. And by the way, dance is, anybody's welcome to come up. Diane is not going to be able to lead dance today, so you ladies who know dance, go ahead and come on up and do what the Lord leads, okay? And I'll put Maria in charge. And say yes. You can do it. All right. Anyway, it's simple and easy does it. All right? You'll be fine. Okay. Praise the Lord. And I'll pass it to Anthony for the tithes and offerings.
I'm the rent collector. Okay. Let's pray over the offering and then give you a chance to get ready to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring into your storehouse, Lord. And you know the needs here that we have as a congregation, Lord. And we pray today that you will give us an offering that is running over, Lord, into the saucer, Lord, that we will truly be blessed today, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord, today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to sing this song for the offering, and actually, I don't know why, but Carolyn Chapman was on my mind for this song, and I was kind of hoping she would be here today. So, Carolyn, if you're watching, this is for you. I don't know why, but maybe you'll sing it with me sometime, because I think she's got a nice voice, and she hasn't sang up here, but well, maybe we'll hear it someday. Shackled by a heavenly burden, need the load of guilt and shame. Then the Today. Okay, come on guys, let's give him praise. Let's worship him because he's worth it. Say he's worth it.
He's worth it.
All right, Margaret, this is your chance to dance. You ready? Okay, here we go.
Joyful noise.
And we need him because we need the victory. We need him. Say, I need him.
I need him.
I need him.
I can't do it all by myself.
I can't do it all by myself.
I need a little help.
Hallelujah.
I need a little supernatural help here. Come on, God.
Jesus, Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Oripikisitaba Kirabalimo Ingala Mosite Pikori Vende Tukunomuku Vikarabai Feriha Honbiki Sohoku Ingana Nemute Kilabu Sutiviki Tang Mutsi Kushani Kushani. I sing in it. Hi heku Fokoribe Kanchele Matai Hatoni Kotasi Fotonde Kofotehete Lingomo Solie.
The Lord says to his people, "You're in my hands. Be content. I am the potter. You are the clay. I have the master plan for your life. You don't have to create a plan. You don't have to get somebody else's opinion about what your plan should be for your life. For I, the Lord thy God, have created a plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and to give you a future." Oh, but you say, "Oh, Lord, look how I have failed. Look how I've fallen. It can never be." Oh, but I spoke to my children many, many years ago when they had fallen, when they had failed, and they were in captivity. And I spoke these same words to them, and I said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Know that my plan is greater than your failure, and my plan is greater than your ability to Hallelujah. Think of a plan.
Yes,
so trust in me, says the Lord, and know that I am holding you. I'm holding you by your hand, and I'm guiding the steps of your feet. For the word has gone forth out of my mouth and declares that the steps of the righteous are ordered by me, saith the Lord. I am directing your steps, and if you miss it, I'll correct it. So don't be afraid to take a step. I'm guiding your path. You're in my hand, says the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You speak to us in many ways, and your word is precious. Shem HaKadosh O Elyon Ata Gibur Osa Shalom Becha Eftah Adon La'ah
all day long I wait for you.
Table, the Shalconet and I. Sharon, would you and Maria care to serve this morning? I'm going to ask Pastor Ed if he would tell us about the hymns, present them to us, and I will say the prayers in Hebrew. So we'll do a tag team here on them.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Anthony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church there at Corinth, and he's giving them instructions about the Lord's Supper. And he says, for I received from the Lord. This is where Paul got it. Paul did not get this from his superiors or from the other elders or from the other apostles. He received it directly from the Lord. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that in the night in which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. We have the opportunity not only to remember and to memorialize Jesus suffering on the cross, but to receive the benefit of it. For when Jesus talked about the bread that was broken, he said, my body is broken for you. We go back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, where the prophet Isaiah says that he, talking about Yeshua, when he would come, that he would bear our griefs. That word grief in the Hebrew literally means sicknesses or diseases. And then he went on to say, and he bore our sorrow. That word sorrow in the Hebrew means pain. So if you've got sickness in your body, or you've got pain in your body, when you partake of this memorial meal and we remember what Jesus, Yeshua, did for us, claim your healing. Say, Lord, you did this for me and I receive it. Because until you receive it, you can never enjoy it. And the beginning of receiving is believing. How many of you believe that Yeshua, his body was broken for you?
Amen.
If you believe it, you can receive it today. And then also in the cup, we find Jesus saying, Yeshua, that this is the new covenant in my blood. Thank God we have a better covenant based on better promises. That's what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Hebrews. And Yeshua gave us this at the cost of his very own life. He was imparting his life to us. It was a divine exchange. He took all the suffering of our life, filled with sin, to give us his life of shalom, peace, filled with his righteousness, filled with his divine Zoe, divine life. So when you receive the covenant blood of Yeshua, you're receiving that divine life of God to come into you, to bring everything into order, not only in your physical body, but even into your mind, your soulish realm, your will, your emotions, everything. Everything man needed was covered in the atoning work of Yeshua on the cross. When he from the cross cried out and said, it is finished. There was not another thing that was left to be done, but that you and I would come and receive that. Brother Anthony.
Blessing of Hamotzi. Baruch Atadonai Elohein Yumelech Ha'olam Hamotzi Likim Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. In the Hagafen. Baruch Atadonai Elohein Yumelech Ha'olam Borei Pori Hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true vine. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I not want. Just green, I love. my soul, he doth restore again.
Little kitties today, so why don't you come forward and Anthony will, and let's all gather around our children and we'll pray for them. And I'm not sure what we have for, I wasn't able to prepare a class, so I may have to, let me talk with Maria in a minute. Okay, let's pray for our children.
May the Lord protect and defend you.
shield me from shame. May you come to me in Israel, a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us in Messiah's ways. May God bless you and grant you long.
Miss Maria is going to take the kids and children, and she might need a helper. So maybe one more person to. Look, she's the Pied Piper there, skipping along, singing a song. That's how Yeshua is. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to welcome Pastor Ed and. And the word that he's going to bring to us. And so, Pastor Ed, if without any further ado, I don't think I need to introduce you other than that Pastor Ed and Pastor Kathy have been with us for 17 years, I think, now. We've known them, and they've been like a grandpa to our flock, to us parents, and to you. They've loved on you and sown into our ministry, and so we thank them for their care and attention, and we want to honor you today. And we will be taking an offering at the end for the Bowers. So please keep that in mind. And Ed, if you'll come, amen.
Glory to God. We are excited to be with you today. Thank you, Dawn. Bless you. She's just like a daughter to us, isn't she, sweetheart?
Is that too
good? That's good, I think. Tell you what, I'll give you the pen so
right.
It doesn't fall off when I get excited. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
How do I
Ah, I see, right here. There we go. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Get all set up here so we can go. But we are excited to be here with you. We've actually known Dawn, 30 years roughly? Yeah. And so our relationship goes way back. And some of you, as Dawn said, known 17 years, more or less. And some of you may be brand new. Some of you, have anybody here who has never heard me minister before? Raise your hand. Anyone? Praise God, no one. Well, I'm glad. Hallelujah. I'm glad and I'm sad. I'm glad you're here. I'm sad there's not a new one here. Amen. We ought to always be looking to get new people to come into the congregation. And they can't get into the congregation if they don't attend the congregational meetings, right? If they don't come. So, you know, when you see somebody in the store, it's a great opportunity. You meet them at the gas station, wherever. There's always opportunities, if you're around people, to invite them to come and experience something new. Amen. And don't hesitate. Don't be shy about it. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. How many of you have been made righteous by the blood of Yeshua? Raise your hand. But if you've been made righteous by the blood of Yeshua, you're a candidate to boldly invite people to come and be a part of what good God is doing here at Lion of Judah Messianic Fellowship. And we're excited. Believe God's got great things in store. Your best days are yet in front of you. Amen. Your best days are yet in front of you. Amen.
Amen.
Your best days are yet in front of you. Amen. Woo! Now, if you'll say amen about that loud while I'm preaching, we'll get done a lot quicker. Hallelujah. Works every time. You know, it's amazing. We've been over in India when we were missionaries there for 11 and a half years, in Bulgaria and in Sweden and on the island of Mauritius. And wherever we go in America and everywhere we go, if I give people that opportunity and say, if you'll say amen, the message goes quicker. Everywhere. May not always sound the same, but it comes out meaning the same thing. We're behind you. Finish soon. Hallelujah. So we're excited. We appreciate Rabbi Joe and Dawn and their heart and their commitment to this congregation and to being where God called them to be. It's not always easy to be in the will of God. Hello. But it's the best thing you can do is being in the will of God. In fact, I guess maybe I really should rescind my statement when I said it's not always easy to be in the will of God, because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. So being out of the will of God is far harder than anything you can imagine by comparing to be in the will of God. The blessings of God are when you're in His will. Come on. The healing of God flows a lot easier when you're in His will. The joy of the Lord being your strength manifests a lot faster when you're in His will. Amen. Well, open your Bible this morning. I'm not going to get into a lot of preliminaries, but let's look in Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 6. And when I read verse 6, you may think this is a very unusual place to start a message, but then we're going to give you a little background that leads up to where verse 6 starts, and hopefully with the help of the Lord go on beyond that to discover some things from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell onto the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and all the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. My, that's a very dramatic opening to a message, a very dramatic scene that the Word of God is painting for us. So what led up to this moment? If you go back not very long, you'll find out that Joshua and the children of Israel had just come from a dramatic, awesome victory, supernatural, in which God caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with that Bible story. It really happened. Walls of Jericho were no easy task to get to come down, because archaeology tells us that those walls were so wide that three chariots could ride abreast on top of the wall. That's a thick wall. Can you say that's a thick wall? I mean, that's not going to come down just with some light pressure. That took some supernatural pressure coming upon it. And it all started when the children of Israel were obedient to walk around for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, when they walked around, they shouted and blew the trumpets and the wall fell. It's just amazing how easily things can happen when we are obedient. Amen? Thank you for that response.
Hallelujah.
When you're obedient, God's free to work. When you're disobedient, God's hands are tied. Did you know you can limit God in what He does? There's a psalm, and I can't remember where it's at, but it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine such a thing that mere human beings could limit the eternal, everlasting, omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing God? But that's what the Word tells us, because God put something unique in each one of us. He made us free moral agents. We have the freedom of choice. We choose to obey and enjoy the blessings, or we choose to disobey, and we have to deal with the consequences. So with this great victory at Jericho, Joshua and his leadership, and the whole nation of Israel, for that matter, have momentum behind them. John Maxwell, the famous church growth teacher, says that you could call it Mighty Mo, because when you've got momentum behind you, you've got a mighty power and force working with you. So much so that when they came to this little place of Ai, which is how I pronounce it. I've tried my best to research this and find out the correct pronunciation. I grew up in church hearing it pronounced Ai and many different things, but I really believe it's Ai. But however you would pronounce it, it's just a small little place, it was. And so much so that when Joshua sent out the spies, they said, listen, there's no need to send all the army of God and weary everybody. Just send about 2,000 or 3,000 troops. You can do this easy. It's going to be a piece of cake, putting it in our modern vernacular. And yet what happened was, there they suffered a great defeat. They fled from this small place, i.e. feeling as if all of their hopes were dashed of conquering anything else, because if you couldn't take such a small place as Ai, how in the world would you ever be able to conquer some of the other great places and lands and countries that were set before them that God had said belonged to them? And so they fled in terror. Now, the common denominator here is that every one of us that are here today have all experienced defeats of different kind. Maybe not exactly like what they did, but we've all experienced defeats. Amen. Anybody in here ever been defeated? Amen. Come on, right? It's okay to raise your hand and admit you've been defeated. Hallelujah. Kathy and I have experienced defeats, haven't we, honey? And thank God we've experienced victories. And from experience, we can tell you victories are better than defeats. Can you say amen? But it's not so much that you experience defeat that matters. It's what you do with defeat. It's how you handle defeat that makes the difference. Let me give you an example. Anybody in here ever heard of Thomas Edison? Well, Thomas Edison, when he was a young man, when he was in school, his teacher said of him, he's so stupid he can't learn anything. When he got his first job, Thomas Edison was fired because he was non-productive. Thomas Edison made 1,000 efforts at developing and inventing the light bulb. In fact, a reporter came up to him after he'd invented the light bulb and said, how does it feel to have failed 1,000 times? Here's Thomas Edison's reply. He said, I did not fail 1,000 times. He said the invention of the light bulb was a process of 1,000 steps. See, it's all in how you look at defeat. It's how you have it. What is your perspective? You see, your decision about defeat in your life is not only going to affect you, but it's also going to affect others. Look at Saul. Saul, now I'm not talking about Saul of Tarsus, I'm talking about King Saul in the Old Testament. He refused to deal with defeats in his own life, and it cost his whole nation defeat. It cost his sons their life. If you studied the story, you know what I'm talking about. So let's look and see, how do we deal with defeat? Since it's something we're all going to experience, or we have experienced, then let us decide ahead of time how we need to deal with defeat when it comes. See, Joshua was filled with discouragement and disillusionment. His mind must have been so perplexed. He couldn't understand what in the world was going on. He didn't know what to do next. Have you ever been there? You didn't know what the next step should be. You didn't know what your next response should be. You didn't know how to act in this situation of defeat. And so he falls on his face before God. And he lays there for a long period of time till the evening sacrifice, just crying out to God and just moaning and feeling sorry for himself and feeling perplexed and trying to deal with this disillusionment. You see, God had assured him back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God had assured Joshua that as long as he lived, no one would be able to stand up against him. God was guaranteeing him that as long as he was the leader of Israel, he would always have victory. He had that promise. He took that promise into battle with him. It worked at Jericho, but it did not work at Ai. Why not? What happened? God, you made me a promise. But you see, sometimes we tend to forget that the fact that God gives us a promise does not guarantee results or victory. I know some of you are saying, oh, we need to go to that old rabbi and make sure he never has this guy come back and preach. But it's the truth. You see, promises from God generally carry conditions. And you'll never receive the result or the fulfillment of the promise unless you're willing to meet the conditions of the promise or of the prophecy. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So, he's got a promise. The fact you've got a promise, again, does not mean that you're going to necessarily see the victory results. Write this down if you're taking notes, or at least make a note of it in your mind. You are one battle away from defeat or victory. You are one battle away from defeat or victory, and you get to choose which it's going to be. Remember in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's in chapter 31, Moses says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose victory. But you do have a choice to make, and your choice will be honored by God. And if you choose defeat, you'll have defeat. But if you choose victory, you will have victory. Hallelujah. No doubt that Joshua is laying there on the ground before God wondering, how am I going to lead these people? They'll never have any more confidence in me. I have not only been defeated, I have failed as a leader. You know, maybe as a husband or as a wife, you've failed. You've been defeated in your position as being husband, being the head of the wife, head of the home. As a wife, being a person who also has your responsibilities in the home, you failed for whatever reason, whatever. I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you the various ways that might occur. But now you're feeling like, my wife will never be willing to lead me, follow my lead. My wife feeling like, well, you know, my husband's never going to have confidence in me again. Or maybe it's the husband and wife together as a team and your parents, and you feel like you were defeated in your parenting. Because, for example, maybe you allowed your emotions to cause you to get angry, and instead of training the child in the way he should go, you were trying to beat the child into the way he should go. If not physically, maybe verbally. Amen? It happens, doesn't it? And so now you feel, how can I ever expect my children to have confidence in me and allow me to speak into their life anymore? Maybe you're a leader in the congregation and you failed. And now you're wondering, how could I ever be a part of the leadership team in this congregation? Or how could I ever do anything in the congregation anymore? Because again, I fail. I've been defeated. And everybody saw it. And other people were affected by my decision. And they too experienced defeat and pain and many other things. And they're never going to want to follow me again. They're never going to want to listen to me again. They're not going to have confidence in me again. So Joshua's laying there. Maybe he also thought about the people and thought, how will I ever get them to be willing to go out to battle again? Because in verse 5, it also tells us In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 5, it tells us that the hearts of the people had melted and became like water. They had no zest or zeal for battle anymore. The same people that just hours earlier were screaming, "Let's go take this place!" The same people that had marched around Jericho and saw the walls fall down were now in a state of disarray, with no desire to pursue the things of God, no longer a desire to go conquer what belonged to them. Because God had said, "It's yours," but they were going to have to do something. Everything God's giving you requires you to have an action, requires you to be a participant. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then, of course, there's another cause. Let me just stop and say that there's generally two reasons why we experience defeat. We do something wrong, somebody else does something wrong. We do something wrong, someone else does something wrong. And when they do, it brings defeat into our life. And again, that can apply to parents, it can apply to children, it can apply to the man on the job, the foreman, whoever it might be. You see, Joshua, as a leader, was responsible in part for this. Now, I know you Bible scholars and those of you who are familiar with this story think, "Oh, no, is this man named Achan? He was the one who was responsible." But Joshua had a part of responsibility. You see, when he sent the spies out and they came back and offered their counsel, "Hey, it's a small place. Don't send everybody. You can just send 2,000 or 3,000 people, easily take care of the job." Joshua had a responsibility to talk to God. Joshua had a responsibility to hear what God had to say about it. But instead of it consulting with God and making everything was green light, everything was okay, everything was in order, you know, sometimes we wonder why a rabbi maybe doesn't act as quickly as we think he ought to. He's checking to make sure that everything's in order in the camp before he gives a signal for us to proceed. But instead of doing that, Joshua simply listens to the voice of the council that's being given. Sound logical? Sounded good based on the report they were giving, and the facts they were giving were accurate facts as far as the size of the area of Ai was concerned, as far as what the potential was for them being able to go forth and defeat this little place. Everything they were saying was truth. It was, it was fact, but it wasn't truth from God's perspective, because God wasn't just looking at the natural, God was looking at the spiritual situation. Which brings me to another thing. Many times we're defeated because somebody betrays us. You see, not only did Achan betray Joshua and his leadership by disobeying the instructions that Joshua had given about them not touching or taking any of the silver or the gold. All of that was supposed to go into the treasury of the Lord. God said, "This is mine. You're not going to plunder this in Jericho. This is mine." And Achan decided, "Well, I know what Joshua said, but I know we're all supposed to be in allegiance with him and be submitted to his authority, but it's not going to hurt if I just take a little bit." But see, to God, a little bit's just as big as taking a whole lot. A little disobedience is just as bad as a whole lot of disobedience. Amen? And betrayal is one of the hardest things to deal with when you've put your confidence in someone. And you've trusted someone that they're going to do the right thing. They're going to obey you. They're going to, for example, maybe there's somebody you've shared a deep secret with. And you've said, "Now I'm telling you this in confidence. I don't want you to tell anybody else." And, you know, when you told that and you told them your heart secret, they went out and they spread it around. And you feel the betrayal of your confidence being broken. Amen. That happens, doesn't it? How many of you can think of somebody that you shared a secret of your heart with and they betrayed your confidence? Anybody? Oh, praise God, yeah. It happens. Now, here's the thing about it. We can decide, well, I'm going to focus on the problem so long that we forget there is a solution. Amen? There is a, thank God, there is a solution. There's a solution because Yeshua came. Hallelujah. Yeshua came and gave us a solution to the problem. Yeshua made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. He is a way maker, amen. In fact, Yeshua said of himself, I am the way. If you've got Yeshua, you've got the way. Now, you may have to do some praying to discover what that particular way is. But if you've got Yeshua, you've got the way. If you don't have Yeshua, you're out of the way. Moving right along. You see, we must not look at root. We must look at, or I'm sorry, we must look at root. We must not look at fruit. Get those two confused. We must not look at just the fruit. We must look at the root. Joshua was looking and thinking the problem was the defeat they just had. But fruit, that defeat was only a fruit of a root that went much deeper. It went deeper into Joshua's life that he did not think about first consulting with God and getting God's direction. Should we go? I mean, it's a small town, Lord. Should we go take this place? Or is there something you know, Lord, I don't know? Many times God knows a whole lot we are not aware of. And if I ask him, he'll make it known to us, won't he? Sure he will. I believe there's a verse of scripture in the Old Testament where the Lord says that if we'll seek him, he will show us great and mighty things which we know not. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things I know not. But I do know where the answer is. It's in Yeshua. Hallelujah. So we must deal with the root and not just the fruit. Failure and defeat were not the problem, but they were a result of an even bigger problem. So first of all, if you're going to deal with this problem, you've failed, you've been defeated, there has got to be some repentance that takes place. Now, under the old covenant, if you sinned, if you did what, for example, Achan did in stealing this silver and gold and hiding it, touching this accursed thing, you died. That was it. That was the end of it. Not only did you die, your family died, your cattle, everything you had died, wiped out. Say, thank God there's a better covenant. There's a better covenant. Yeshua gave us a better covenant. We're in. Not only can we be forgiven, but we must in turn forgive others. So when somebody offends you, somebody betrays you, somebody lets you down, somebody makes a decision that causes defeat to come into your life, we must walk in forgiveness. Amen? Even people who leave, listen to me, people who break fellowship with you, stop coming maybe to this congregation, you must be willing to forgive them. Come on. If you don't forgive them, you're holding and tying that offense around your neck. You're going to cause that thing to linger on in your mind and continue to put poison in your life. And it won't just affect that one event. It'll begin to spread like cancer throughout your whole spiritual being and your emotional realm as well, and cause you to begin to be defeated in area after area after area. It'll spread like wildfire, so to speak. But then not only do we need to repent, there must be change. You see, you've got to understand that Greek word in the New Testament for repent means a changing of your mind. It means you're going this way and you say, oh, this is not where I want to go. So you change, you repent, and you start going in the other direction. And if that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter how many tears you cry. Come on. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. Now, many times with the decision, emotion comes. Tears may come. You feel grief. You feel remorse. You feel sadness. You may need to go to somebody and say, oh, no, I've repented to God. I've got to repent to you because I brought this tragedy into your life through my decision. You may have to go to your children. You may have to go to your husband or to your wife and repent to them. Hello? You say, we want our repentance. Oh, I've asked God to forgive me, and that's all that matters. I wish somebody would fix that. But that's not true. It matters more than just talking to God. You know, God, the Bible says, how can you say you love God whom you've seen, not seen, and say you're in love with your brother or your sister who you have seen? Come on. I think I got that backwards. How can you say you love your brother and God whom you've not seen and hate your brother and sister whom you have seen? You can't do that. And that means you've got to be willing to repent. It means you've got to be willing to forgive. We got to bury the problem. This is very interesting. Joshua, after he found out who had done this bad thing, when he found out that Achan had been the one who betrayed the confidence and stole the Babylonian garment and the wedges of silver and gold, all of him, Achan and his family, everything that he had, as I said a moment ago, was destroyed, was killed, burnt. But then they buried them. And they buried them in the valley of Achor, which means trouble. They buried them in the valley of trouble because, and they named it that because it was there that Achan had caused all this trouble to Joshua and the children of Israel. But now I want you to understand something. If you're willing to bury it, if you're willing to repent of it and turn and go the right direction, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15, God says, I'm going to give to Israel the valley of Achor as a door of hope. God took that which had been trouble and turned it into an opportunity for hope. Remember, we quoted the scripture earlier that in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 in the New International Version, the Bible says, God speaking, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Plans to give you victory again. Israel, at the time God was speaking this through the mouth of Jeremiah, they were in a state of defeat. They were in a state of hopeless. They were in bondage and captivity. But God says, I know you messed up, but... Say but. Say it loud. But. But. I've still got plans for you. See, a lot of times Satan wants us to think because we've messed up, we've been defeated, that there's no hope. We're not going to get to be used by God anymore. We're not going to get to enjoy the blessings of God anymore. It'll never be like it used to be. No, it's going to be even better than it used to be. Because when God repairs and makes something new, He doesn't do a patch-up job. He makes a whole new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 27 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Glory, that's good news. See, God's plan is bigger than your failure. God's plan is bigger than your defeat. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Doesn't matter how bad it looks. Doesn't matter how many people tell you it's over, it's finished, it's not. It'll never be the same. You're never going to get to go. You might as well just accept it. Don't accept it. Don't accept anything less than God's best. Amen. Gee, Yeshua died so you could have the best. He said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. And until we reach that place, we shouldn't take second best. We don't have to settle for less because Yeshua gave us the best. If I had a pen and paper, I'd write that down. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So what's the main thought here? Try again. Try again. But this time be sensitive to the voice of God. This time find out what God's saying to you through His written word. What is God saying to you maybe prophetically? Maybe God's speaking to you through that still, small, quiet voice. But hear God so that you know you can act with confidence, knowing you are doing what God said to do, the way God said to do it, when God said to do it. Do the what, the when, and the how. And you'll always be successful. You'll always prosper. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I believe this is what God told me to share with you today. Hallelujah. I believe it has application, as does all the Word of God, to our everyday life. This book, the Bible, is a handbook for life, if we'll follow it. Amen. It'll make us successful in every venture if we can maintain the mentality that Thomas Edison had. I don't care how many times I try and it doesn't work, I'm one step closer to success. I'm one step closer to victory. I'd like to prophesy over this congregation and say you're one step closer to this place being full. You're one step closer to this congregation fulfilling the mandate that God has assigned to it. Amen. Can you agree with that? Amen. Hallelujah. praise the Lord. So I want to stop right now as far as preaching is concerned. And if there's anyone here you need prayer for whatever, matters not, I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning for Kathy and I to pray for you. We'll set our faith in agreement. The elders will come and pray with us, and we'll believe God to minister to your life. But before we do that, I'd like to ask just everyone, please, just from up to bow your head. Maybe this thing of defeat is still very fresh in your mind, not because it just happened yesterday, but because you've never been able to bury it. You've never been able to put it aside. You've never been able to put it in the past where it belongs and move on. You've never been able to turn it from being a tombstone into a stepping stone. See, you have that opportunity to turn every defeat from a tombstone into a stepping stone into your future. That's what Thomas Edison did, wasn't it? Every time it seemed like he was experiencing a defeat, he used it as a stepping stone to move ahead to his future and his destiny of inventing the light bulb. What's God called you to do? It matters not how many times you fail. If you'll just keep making it a stepping stone, it will eventually lead you to your victory. So with every head bowed, no one looking around, if that's you today, you've been dealing with some defeat of the past, and it just doesn't seem to want to go away, I want you just to raise your hand right now and put it back down. Thank God for that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, and that hand, and that hand. Hands went, my goodness, thank you, Lord. Hands went up everywhere. I want to pray for you right now, and if you'll agree with my prayer, I believe with all my heart that we come in together in unity, this thing can be broken out of your life. It is not the will of God that you carry your life filled with regret. God doesn't want you doing that. That is not his will or plan for your life. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray boldly. I'm going to pray by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, who said that we could come boldly into the throne room and obtain mercy and help in a time of need. And Father, your children who have received Yeshua as Savior are in need of being set free from the defeat of the past so they can move ahead into their glorious future that you have for them in Yeshua. And I take authority over this thing in their mind and in their emotion in the name of Yeshua. And I say, loose them. Loose them right now. Right now, if you'll just lift your hands. Those of you who said, this is me, raise your hand right now as an act of releasing it to God. So robashete ke borusike hasandelolo moteke orosete amoniaka. When you let go, I'll take over, says the Lord. When you let go, I'll take it away, says the Lord. When you release it to me, I'll count it as gone. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Yeshua's name. Now, right now, those of you who prayed that prayer, you agreed with me, I want you to say, it's gone. I won't let it come back. I'll guarantee you it will knock on the door, but you don't have to answer it. Because somebody knocks on the door, rings your doorbell, you don't have to go to the door and answer it. There was a little girl, and every time she'd go to the door, Satan was standing there and he would torment her. And one day Jesus had come to her house. She'd invited Jesus into her heart. And she said, Yeshua, I hear that door again. It's knocking. Satan's up there. He's going to torment me. And Jesus said, it's all right. I'll go answer the door. And when Jesus opened the door and the devil saw Jesus, he said, uh-oh, wrong house. I believe if you'll stay with it, the next time that temptation comes to receive that defeat back in your mind, back in your emotions, you say, no, I believe Jesus will answer the door for you. And Satan will say, oh, wrong house, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Don't give it another thought. Don't give it a birthing ground in your mind or in your heart. Don't meditate on it. Meditate on the good things. Whatever things are good and pure and lovely, if there be any virtue, any praise. Paul said, think on these things, and the God of peace will guard your heart and your mind in Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone who wants prayer for anything this morning? We're not trying to draw the service out, but if you need prayer, we know somebody who has the answer. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Sweetheart, would you come pray with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The elders are coming up to pray. Brother Anthony, whoever else. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Angel stays with me. Imprisoned by alcohol, by nicotine, caffeine, sugar.
Father, we just come in agreement for this one. Father, who is bound by the enemy. Father, I thank you. Does she know Yeshua is saved? But there are a lot of good Christian people that are bound unnecessarily by the forces of darkness. And we agree that your Holy Spirit is brooding over their life right now. Lord, that you're just touching her, speaking to her, wooing her with your force of love, reminding her that you do have a plan for her life, a plan to lead her into prosperity and not to ever harm her, because you're not a person of harm. You're not an angry God anymore. You're a God of love, you're a God of compassion. I thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. We're in agreement, Father, that you work it, and we're in agreement, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is preparing her heart to receive and to yield and to turn it over to you, because she can't deal with it. You dealt with it over 2,000 years ago at the cross. When you said it was finished, it was finished for her life.
He never fails.
Amen.
Nor is he weary.
We agree. We're in agreement. We're in agreement.
He gives
Amen. Somebody else.
To the weak.
Father, I thank you. We come before your throne in the name of Yeshua, Father, with confidence. Lord, you said in your word that if we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not only would we be saved by our house, you're a household salvation, Lord. You died for the whole thing. I thank you, Father, that according to what my brother has spoken, we're in agreement, that your Holy Spirit is touching their hearts, tugging at their hearts, that their hearts are becoming receptive to the seed of your word. And Father, they're going to open their hearts and invite Yeshua to come in and be the Lord and the deliverer of their life. And Lord, we're not going to wait till we see it to praise you for it. We're going to thank you for it right now. We thank you and praise you. We say it is done. We call the thing to be not as though it were, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.
Be